This is the Angles of Latitude podcast, session number 6. Today's guest is Joe Crane of VeteranOnTheMove.com.
This is Squadron Leader confirming hostiles inbound. Prepare for battle.
What you're about to hear is the integration of life.
Clarity is power.
If you live each day as if it was your last, someday you'll most certainly be right.
Liberty.
We choose to go to the moon.
It's happening.
And all things equal.
Yeah, I'm not sure I know how to answer that.
You got a badass over here.
Welcome to the Angles of Latitude podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Angles of Latitude podcast. This is a show where we help fellow millennials find their true groove in life by doing work that matters, not only to them, but possibly the rest of the world. Every Thursday, we publish another conversation about the art and science of truly living a life of passion and how you, too, can do the work you're meant to do. Your hosts are JC Preston, that's me, and I still don't know how Marty got back into the Wild Wild West to help Doc and the third installment of Back to the Future. There's John Ridge, whose super busy schedule has gotten even busier as of late, and Brian Whitaker, who is recently finding out that he has a natural ability to be a great coach. Hope you're all having a great day. The day that I'm recording this is actually October 21st, 2015, also known as the day that Marty and Doc arrived in the future and Back to the Future 2. I have mixed feelings about that fact. On one side, I love how much the world has changed since the 80s, when the movie was released. However, at the same time, it hasn't. I just saw a video illustrating all the things that were predicted, which many haven't happened yet. Perhaps we can put that on everyone being distracted with the web and computers, which really wasn't even the running of tech that they thought was going to catch on, let alone podcasts, right? This week in the New Inceptions Masterminder group, which we started last week, we're implementing themed days. You know, we've seen this do well in other groups that we belong to on Facebook, so we're hoping that this will aid in the direction of questions that people can ask or, you know, discuss in the group. We hope that the Masterminder group itself becomes a good resource for those of you who are serious and wanting to level up or just make a transition in your career. You know, speaking of transitions, Joe Crane is our guest in today's session. Joe is actually a member of the Masterminder community, and not only is he a great resource for his audience, but I think he's a great resource for the New Inceptions audience as well. So, you know, look out for him in the Facebook group. But, Joe's podcast is called Veteran on the Move, where he talks with guests about how veterans can become entrepreneurs. He really has a passion for that, I think. And after listening to this podcast, I think you'll understand why. Some of the topics we discuss include how he got started as a podcaster, how he lives a balanced life between being a pilot, a veteran on the move itself, and being with his family, which includes 4 teenagers, and what skills he uses regularly as an entrepreneur that he picked up as a Marine, which I think he did for 23 years. Remember that this podcast is for you guys. So if you have a question, an idea for a topic, or can think of someone that would be a good fit for the show, let us know. You can send us an email about it via heyguys@newinceptions.com. There's a really good chance that we'll talk about it on the show. So enjoy, and for the show notes, you can go to newinceptions.com/session6. I'll be back after the conversation to fill in anything we might have missed. Hey, everyone, and again, welcome to Angles of Latitude podcast. Today with us is a great friend of the show, Joe Crane. A little bit about Joe. He retired from the Marine Corps in 2013 after 24 years of service. He was in an AH-1W Super Cobra. I'll just call it a Super Cobra. Attack helicopter pilot and completed 2 combat flying tours in Iraq. Joe is now an airline pilot and host of the Veteran on the Move podcast. What would you call that? Your slogan? Your Pathfinder to Freedom?
Pathfinder to Freedom, that's right.
All right. And he provides knowledge and inspiration to veterans aspiring to transition to the exciting world of entrepreneurship. And on top of all that, he already has a heck of a lot of things going on. He's an influential part in my mastermind group. So without further ado, here's Joe Crane. Joe, how are you doing today?
Well, thanks, JC, and Brian and John also. Glad to be here. And been getting a lot out of the mastermind. Although my schedule has kind of knocked me out the last couple of meetings participating, hadn't it?
A little bit, but it happens to all of us.
Yeah, it happens. Well, I just finished doing my morning today. I had a phone call with my mentor, and I just finished an interview with a great guy named Aaron Walker, who he's a business coach and life coach, runs the View from the Top company. Phenomenal guy, real good friends with Dave Ramsey. So just finished that interview, and now I get to be on the other side of things.
Right, a little bit of a change up.
Yeah.
So, you know, your background is actually in 20 plus years of flying for the Marines. You fly commercially now. How has the transition been going from the military life to a citizen? How much of you think is a Marine still?
Well, I think my personality was always kind of conducive to being a Marine in the first place when I was younger, but you can't be in the Marine Corps for 24 years and not come out in some way twisted or tainted, so to speak. And I say that as affectionately, but I was active duty for 8 years, and then I actually got out and started pursuing my career in the airlines. Mm-hmm. But I went right into a reserve unit and kept on flying for the Marine Corps Reserve.
Oh, okay.
And then after September 11th, I got furloughed from the airlines. So I went back on active duty with the Marine Corps and ultimately retired. And after that, I went back to the airline job. So I've kind of done this transition thing a couple of times. You know, I've transitioned.
You're a seasoned pro, in
and out of the military. So I know all about the whole transition thing. But we were talking a lot about this with Aaron Walker, the interview I just did. He's never been in the military, but he talked about how he had made a bunch of money at 27 years old and sold out to a company, and he lost his sense of purpose, and he gained 50 pounds and was taking naps in the afternoon. His wife finally, you know, woke him up in bed and said, "Dude, you gotta get out there and do something. You've lost." He goes, "I don't have any reason to get up." And that's one thing you have to be careful of when we're going through these transitions. And I'm very akin to the whole military thing, but anybody that's in a job transition or a life transition out there has to be aware of these things. And when guys get out of the military, guys and gals, of course, you not only lose your sense of purpose, but you can lose your identity. Because, you know, I'm not an Army Ranger anymore. I'm not a Marine anymore. I'm not a pilot anymore. You know, what am I? Well, I'm a salesman or what, you know, whatever it may be.
Right.
And it doesn't sound nearly as sexy as maybe what you used to do. And you lose your identity. And people, you know, when you're in the military these days, being in the military is very popular. It has always been that way, but there's a lot of good that comes from, you know, putting on that uniform, and you got to feel like you got a lot of people behind you. And when you get out in the civilian world, you're kind of a lone wolf if you're not careful, and you can lose a lot of that.
Mm-hmm. You said that you've always kind of had the shtick for being a Marine growing up. Becoming an entrepreneur, some ways is kind of out there for people that are used to taking orders, you know, and not necessarily just taking orders, but, you know, following whatever the people say. How did you get started being a podcaster, and how does that motivate your inner geek?
Well, I started listening to podcasting probably around the 05, 06 timeframe. I started listening to podcasts on the way to work as a way to pass time. And I started getting into personal development and motivational type stuff initially. And then I branched out from there, listening to all sorts of different stuff. I just fell in love with podcasting because I would rather listen to something that's specific about my interest than just blindly listening to the radio and what the DJs were saying every morning on the way to work.
Right.
And so I just became a huge podcast fan. And for many years, I thought, man, I should start my own podcast. I'd like to start my own podcast. But I kept thinking, well, there's not enough content inside Joe Crane to talk about a podcast, you know, once a week or twice a week or whatever. I just can't see myself producing that kind of stuff. And one time I was listening to some other podcasts that were basically interview based. They're interviewing other experts. And that was kind of like the proverbial light bulb moment for me was, I can interview other people that really know what they're talking about and just pick their brains and get the information out of them and basically have an interview based podcast. And that was really when everything changed for me. And I'm like, okay, I need to really look into how to go about doing this. And so that's how I got started in podcasting. There was something you had said early on that I wanted to respond to. I can't remember what it was, but go ahead with, I can't remember what it was. I'll think of it here in a second.
Okay.
That's all right. I have a quick question for you.
Yeah.
Go ahead, JC.
No, go ahead. Sorry.
All right. Well, personally, I'm interested in learning more about you. Through your time helping veterans transition from the military to an entrepreneurial lifestyle, obviously you've been able to help a lot of people. Would you mind sharing with us what it is you do and how you help people make that transition?
Okay, that's exactly what I was trying to remember from what JC had said. So,
oh, great.
I've kind of always been like when I was a kid, I always come up with cool ideas on how to make things better. Or it was more back then. It was called an inventor. So I always had great ideas about stuff. But you know, when you're a kid, it's kind of tough to take action on your own ideas and that kind of thing. But so I go through college and I think I want to be an engineer because I like making things and inventing things. But of course, engineering is not necessarily always that. And then I get interested in flying for the military. So I got into a platoon leaders class, officer candidate school program while I was in college. And when I graduated college, I accepted a commission in the Marine Corps and went off to flight school. But the whole time I was in the military for 24 plus years, I read business magazines. I got hooked on, you guys probably don't remember this because I think you're a little younger, but there's this guy named Charles J. Givens, and he had Wealth Without Risk, a book that came out. And that totally changed and opened my eyes to how money worked and investing. And it just kind of opened up this huge Pandora's box for me with money and investing and planning ahead. And along with that, I've always been interested in running my own business or being an entrepreneur as the years went on. And as I started getting, I could never pull it off though, because I'd get a little bit of momentum going. I'd get maybe a little bit of success from here and there. I tried all sorts of different things, you know, stuff on my own, or there's, you know, direct sales companies coming up with my own products, my own ideas, trying to sell other people's products. It was a lot of different stuff that I worked on and tried different, you know, websites and affiliate marketing. And my main problem was I'd start to get a little momentum and we'd head off for a training exercise for 3 weeks or a deployment would come up and I'd be gone for 7 months and, you know, boom, everything's gone. All the momentum's gone. And by the time I got back and the dust settled, I couldn't really get it started again. So I was really looking forward to finally getting out of the military for good as I retired. And I said, what is it I'm going to do? And I was in this entrepreneurship program down at Oklahoma State, working on a graduate degree. And you said, you got to start a business as one of these classes I was taking. So I got this great idea for, you had to go through the mechanics of actually starting this business, you know, go get a business license and form an LLC or whatever.
Right.
So I'm doing all this and I'm like, you know, about the same time, I came up with this great idea to start a speaking organization for wounded warrior types called Speaking of Heroes, you know, getting your heroes to tell their story. And so I wanted to start this nonprofit. So I went through this whole process of doing all this and learning and struggling. And when I came out on the other end, I stopped and I looked back and I thought, you know, there's a lot of stuff I wish I had known when I started, and a lot of people, programs, and resources that I came across along the way that really helped a lot. And I thought, you know, as much as into this, all this stuff as I am, and I didn't know about all this stuff, I was not aware of a lot of this stuff, I guarantee you there's other veterans out there that don't know about it either, that want to do the same thing I'm trying to do. And so I thought, that's it. I'd come to the conclusion of starting like an interview-based podcast, and everything kind of came together. I'm like, that's it. I'm going to interview anybody, whether they're a veteran or not, that can help veterans transition to entrepreneurship. And I thought, well, why do I want to be an entrepreneur? Because being an entrepreneur to me means, you know, freedom. It means autonomy. It means the ability to, you know, control your own destiny. And so those are all the things I loved about the entrepreneurship concept. And I know there's other military guys out there that want to be entrepreneurs also, but a lot of them just don't really know how to get started or how to go about it. And so that's where the whole idea about helping veterans transition entrepreneurship. And you know, another tagline that I came up with was empowering veterans through entrepreneurship. Because a lot of veterans, whether they were in maybe for a 4-year enlistment or they retire, they really don't want to go work in corporate America. They don't want to go get the job and sit in the cube farm for 8-9 hours a day and have to, you know, deal with all the things that go along with that. They want to go do something on their own. They want to run their own show. And So we're empowering veterans by encouraging them and helping them get into entrepreneurship.
Right. So job, does that to you mean just over broke?
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't want to be a hypocrite because I have a job. So right. we talk about that on the podcast. The best way you have to consider your own personal situation as to how you're going to make this transition into entrepreneurship. If you have a spouse and kids and mortgage payments and you're the sole breadwinner and you're paying all the bills, well, then you probably have to go about it a different way than if you're 22 years old, single, saved everything you made while the whole time you're in the military. You can just jump right into it if you're that guy. But so we talk about, you got to assess your own personal situation and the sacrifices you're willing to make. And, you know, you just don't want to be that horror story where you just quit your job and jump right into some entrepreneurial venture. And next thing you know, you're declaring bankruptcy.
Oops.
and it's tough. You know, entrepreneurship's not easy. I think, JC, you mentioned, how does it work in making a transition to entrepreneurship when you've been taking orders and being told what to do for so many years? And that's very important, because even if you were the guy in charge, so to speak, and you were the one telling everybody what to do, you still had a boss. Mm-hmm. You still had a commander, and there was still commander's intent. There was still a training schedule. There was still a lot of stuff in place that helped guide you and helped point out to you what was important for you to be doing that day. When you, this entrepreneurship stuff can get real lonely real quick, and you can wake up in the morning and you're like, well, I honestly don't really know exactly what the most important thing for me to do today is, because it's just me making those decisions. And so we talk a lot about finding mentors, accountability groups, whether it be masterminds, building a team of trusted advisors around you that have your success, your vested interest in mind, so that you're not alone. Because being a lonely entrepreneur is not real, unless you're just writing books by yourself or something. It's not real fun, and you're probably not going to be successful.
Yeah. So Joe, I'm kind of curious about what your day looks like. You said you have both a job and you're an entrepreneur. So what does that mean for you in the sense of like a day or a week? How does that work for you?
Well, that's a real good question, because I don't know if there's one day or one week that ever looks the same. What I do, I use a program called Schedule Once, to schedule my interviews. So what I'll do is when I get my airline schedule, I'll go through and I'll pick a few days where I know I'm available. And then I send that link out to people that I'm looking to interview. And they pick what days work for them. And sometimes it takes, you know, 3-4 months to get that one guy you've been working on for a while, you know, to get your schedules to match up. So having a scheduling program like that is vital, because in the beginning I was just the whole email volley back and forth. Can you do Thursday? No, I can do Wednesday. Okay, what time? Afternoon. Well, I can't do afternoon. I can do morning. And you go on and on. So you really need one of those. If you're doing a lot of interviews, you got to have a program like that. It makes life so much easier. And so I get my airline schedule. I plug some days in, and then I'll comb around on LinkedIn and other places, or I'll see an article about something, and I'm like, hey, a lot of the people I interview are kind of, you know, are no name people, so to speak. They're not names that you would recognize, in they're not public figures or anything like that. But they've all got great entrepreneurial stories. And you know, sometimes we learn more out of their failure stories than we do their success stories, because it helps, you know, those. And I still kind of view myself as an entrepreneur wannabe. I've always been an entrepreneur wannabe. I've wanted to do this for a long time, and you know, being the sole breadwinner and military commitments and being gone a lot, it's been difficult. And so to finally be here and doing what I've wanted to do for a long time, and you know, technology these days makes it a lot easier to do it and even be mobile while we're doing it. And there's a lot of great podcasters out there that are mobile. That's kind of their whole mantra, you know. You never know where they're going to be doing their podcast from. That's part of the reason everybody's listening. I don't know where they're at. So
yeah. Well, I was actually just talking with the guys before the show, and we were talking about, or I was saying that the guy that Michael, I can't think of his last name, the guy that does Solopreneur Hour, he had recorded with someone that had been on stage in front of like 1,000 people right before lunch, I guess, is where they were at. But they were at a Joe's Crab Shack. And during the recording, you could hear the waitress come in and be like, "And who is your waiter, or who is your blah, blah, blah?" And it was just like, wow, that's kind of random, but I guess kind of cool at the same time. So,
yeah, somewhere with his show, I've listened to it a lot. You hear, like, every once in a while, you hear birds chirping in the background or something. You're kind of wondering where he's at, or wondering where the guest is at. I know there's a few airline pilots where they talk about aviation and that kind of stuff, and they do all their podcast recordings when they're in the hotel on the layover or whatever, and they're talking about that. I have not done that. If I was doing a show where I was really producing the content myself, it might be more feasible. But trying to be in a different hotel every night and pulling off an interview with somebody when you're relying on somebody else, you're taking up somebody else's time. I really want to be more dependable. So I do all my interviews out of my house when I'm here at home, where I can control the environment a little better, control the internet and all that. So, in the airline world, you know, with, as you guys know, traveling, if weather and maintenance and stuff like that, you don't always end up where you're at when you were planning to get there. So,
now through that conversation just now, you said something that was really interesting to me. You talked about learning from past failures. And if you don't mind me asking, along your journey, what have been some of your failures or your letdowns or the obstacles that you've had to overcome? And what was it that you learned from those?
Yeah. I mean, I tell you, if, you know, going back, you know, decades ago, where I've always wanted to do this entrepreneurial thing, but I never could get any momentum going, or if I did get a little momentum going, it'd go away. I think one of my biggest things that's contributed to not necessarily failures, but lack of any success was consistency. Granted, you know, if you got to pack up and leave for 2 or 3 weeks, you ought to have things set up in a way that when you come back, you can pick up right where you left off. Well, in the past, I hadn't been very good with doing that. You know, I was more working from inside my head than getting things down on paper, coming up with a structured plan on paper writing my goals down, putting timelines there, holding myself accountable, getting other people involved to help me become more accountable. Those have always been my weaknesses and why I didn't make a whole lot of progress in the past. I mean, deployments and exercises and military life does get in the way and did in the past for me. But even now that I retired from the military and I've got time in between my airline job, if I'm not careful, time will get away from me and time goes by and I don't get anything done. And so I really need to, take all those things you hear about, SMART ideas. I'm not kidding. The acronym SMART. I have to come up with SMART goals. And I can't even tell you what SMART stands for, but measured, time, the word SMART stands for, but it's all true. And all that stuff works. And if you're having a hard time accomplishing your goals or making progress, it's because you're not writing your goals down. You're not putting a time limit on them and you're not being specific and realistic about what those goals are. And, masterminds and accountability groups are really big right now. And some of the big names that are out there right now are heavily involved in masterminds and accountability groups. And the reason why they're involved in them is because they work. With my podcast, for the most part, I'm a one man show. I do everything myself. And the negative part of that is there's no one to hold me accountable. Like if I don't do something or don't get this done, there's my listeners that I would let down. But frankly, as a podcast host, you don't hear from your listeners as much as you might think you would. My listeners aren't going to be the ones that are going to hold me accountable. They may go away and not come back, but they're not going to be asking me, did you get this done? Have you made progress? Have you started working on your next goal and your next product? So you do need to start in bringing other people into your life to help get you to become more accountable and stay on task and stay on your goals.
All right. Well, just now you just touched on the life of an entrepreneur and things that you've done. With your experience working both a JOB and being an entrepreneur, would you mind comparing the two?
Oh yeah, absolutely. To me, and I've seen studies out there where, like, if you ask most people, in particular men, since I'm a guy, what are the most coveted or most admired jobs or careers you could ever have? Airline pilot actually shows up quite a bit in the top 3 or 5. And so right now I feel like I work for the best airline and I have the best job I could ever ask for. I get to fly for a living. I get to go around, see a lot of places, and my airline is doing great right now. And I could not have a better job. I can't think of a better job I would want to have, but I find myself time and time again thinking, man, I'd rather be back home working on my podcast than doing this right now. And we were flying into great cities and all across America. I'm domestic right now. And I'm thinking, this ought to be a great job. I ought to be loving this right now. And I do like it and I do love it at times. But if I had a choice, I'd rather be back running my own show and being an entrepreneur and main, minding my businesses. And unfortunately, I'm not in the financial position right now to be able to walk away from it. And I also spent decades, trying to get to the point of having this job. So to just kind of walk away from it for a possibility is a big step. The wife and I have 4 kids. We have 4 teenagers in the house at this moment. And so you can, not in addition to a lot of stuff going on around the house, there's a lot of things that need to be paid for. And frankly, entrepreneurship's great, but in the beginning, it may not be paying anything and it may take a while before it does start paying. And every entrepreneur has to finally come to that crossroads where, are they going to ditch the JOB and go full time? You're going to jump in and see if you can swim, or are you going to keep on balancing both? I mean, there are plenty of people out there, plenty of entrepreneurs out there that say, you'll never become a full-time entrepreneur unless you just walk away from the job because it's going to hold you down. And I get that. And I agree with that to a certain extent. But I kind of entered into this entrepreneurial thing late in life. And I was, just didn't have the luxury of going all in with it full time. So I've really had to balance the job. And like I said, I was an airline pilot years ago, back from like 98 to 01. And I really liked it back then. And when I came back a couple of years ago, I was expecting it to be so much more, but I had grown and matured and knew so much more about life and everything else. I'm thinking, I don't remember this. I go, this isn't as good as I was expecting it to be, or this isn't as good as I remember it being. And, it's a fact. And so, yeah, I have one of the greatest jobs I could ever ask for, but it's still a job. And when I'm working on my entrepreneurial stuff, maybe the biggest frustration I have is making sure I stay on task and making sure I'm developing a long range plan while also getting stuff close in done on a daily basis. It's processing those emails, looking out like for my podcast, who am I going to interview next, going through the motions of how to make contact with them and schedule interviews and doing all that. And so it's a lot of grunt work. It's a lot of busy work. That part of it's not too much fun, but I never find myself complaining about it or loathing it like I do going to the job. The part I really love about podcasting is actually doing the interviews. I mean, I've always had a natural curiosity for people's businesses, business owners, and how they make money, how their business runs, and what makes them tick. So it comes very natural to me to just talk to people about their businesses and their business success. So it's never really considered work.
Now, along your journey, I mean, obviously what you're doing has been proven to work. What would you say have been the three most vital skills that you display that has allowed you to successfully manage your life as an entrepreneur?
I would say that some of the skills, if you will, that I have are very similar to what most veterans have. And that's one of the things we talk about on Veteran on the Move, is how veterans, if they want to be an entrepreneur, make great entrepreneurs because they possess a lot of the requisite skills that make great entrepreneurs. Things like dependability, consistency, discipline. They're not scared to fail and come back and try again. In other words, they don't quit. Once they've got their mission at hand, they keep going and going and going until they make it work. And, in addition to just to talk about myself, a lot of the, time and time again, these guys I interview, they've just got, a stick-to-itiveness. It's an old term from the Marine Corps days. It's not really a word, but they stick to it and they keep going and they refuse to quit. And eventually they break through and they succeed. And I hear that over and over from a lot of the veterans that I interview. And they attribute it to their experience in the military, where you're faced with, and we're not just talking, the combat environment. We're talking the regular day-to-day military life, training, exercises, and even when you're in garrison, dealing with the problems and trials and tribulations, you deal a lot. I like to say that in the military, like if you do a 4-year enlistment, you basically cram like 8 or 10 years of living into 4 years. And so I think that's why most of the time veterans come out ahead of their civilian counterparts, because there's a lot more intensity, a lot more activity, and a lot more experience that is just crammed into a shorter period of time. So you've lived, you're like you're living in dog years almost. There's like a 3-to-1 ratio or something, with a year in the military is worth 3 in the civilian world, as far as the amount of stuff you see, the amount of people you have to deal with, the amount of struggles you've encountered, whether it be with other people or physical struggles. So there's a lot of living that goes into being in the military. And I think that's one of the benefits of being in the military, is as a leader, you, you know, even as a young guy, you get to see lots of examples of great leadership and really bad leadership. And so you know what, you're easily identify what's good and what's not. And then when you get put in a leadership position, hopefully you can be more on the side of, you know, the great leadership because you've had enough examples of good and bad. You're thrust into leadership positions and decision-making opportunities that you just won't get in most places in the civilian world, or at least with the, you know, at least get the amount of that in the same amount of time. So I, you know, veterans make great entrepreneurs, and I'm no different from any of the rest of them. So just the tenacity, and, you know, I can fail and fail and fail and keep coming back. It's not going to dissuade me.
Yeah. The stick-to-itiveness, right?
Stick-to-itiveness. Exactly.
Yeah. So, hey Joe, you mentioned a couple things that kind of have stuck out to me. Like, part of that is the stick-to-itiveness, but you also mentioned like when veterans come back or when they transition out of the military, they kind of lose a sense of their identity. They don't really, and they're kind of looking for that. And I think I've noticed that sort of thing as well for students who come out of college. They're no longer a student anymore. They've kind of lost that identity, and they don't necessarily, if they don't have a job lined up, they don't necessarily know where to go.
That was absolutely me. That was me.
Yeah. So, well, you like, know, well, I mean, how do you, if you have, even if you have that stick-to-itiveness, how do you know what your mission is? You know, do you, do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, it's not easy. And, you know, I'd like to say military folks are not the only ones that go through transitions in life, but we talk about the military transition process because everybody in the military knows they're going to go through a transition at some point. I mean, you can't stay in forever. I think on the civilian side, if you're at a job, you don't think, okay, at the end of this 4 years, I'm out. You know, sometimes you go for a job and you might start looking for another one. You can leave if you want, but in the military, you're there. You can't get out unless something happens, or you come to the end of your enlistment, or you retire. So you know you're there, and you know you've, at some point you will transition. And the military transitions tens of hundreds of thousands of military folks all the time. So they've almost institutionalized the transition process because they, you know, the best recruiting tool for the military is somebody that went into the military, and when they get out, they transition into a successful life, whatever that may be for them, whether it was, I get to go to college now, or I got out and got a great job and started a great career, or I got out and I started my own business. And then they go out into the community and start going, and they start telling all their people around them that going into the military was the best thing I ever did for them. That is the best recruiting tool that the military has. So the military has a vested interest in helping their members transition successfully into the outside world. So that's why the military has captured and taken hold of this whole transition process. And they spend millions of dollars on this process, helping folks do this. But it's the same for on the civilian side. You're exactly right. Kids come out of college. I can think of certain family members of myself, of my own family. They come out of college, they graduate, and then they start looking for a job. It's like, dude, you're too late. I mean, you should have been thinking about it a year ago, you know, but it's not easy. Not everybody knows what they want to do in life. But if you don't know what you want to do in life, at least you need to go do something until you figure it out. You just don't sit around the apartment playing video games and doing whatever until someone no one's going to come knock on your door and say, hey, dude, I found the solution for you. You're going to have to go out and find it yourself. And, you know, it's, civilians throughout their career, you know, everybody goes through these transitions, you know, job changes. Nobody stays at the same job for 30, 40 years and gets the gold watch with the pension anymore. It just doesn't happen. You take your portable 401k with you, and you kind of sidestep left and right to work your way up the ladder. If you stay with one company all the way through, it just, it's so rare, it just doesn't happen anymore. So everybody goes through these transitions, and you've got life transitions of, you know, marriage and divorce and kids and weddings and, you know, I got a lot of friends around me that are starting to become grandparents, and I'm like,
yikes.
Okay. Holy cow.
I'm sure John would
think about, you know,
John would probably argue against the 401k and probably be like, no, you want a Roth IRA. But
well, yeah. Once you get your Roth and once you get your IRAs maxed out, you can throw the excess in.
There you go.
but you know, it's not like when I first got hired at the airlines, I had a pension, you know, there's a great big pension and retirement guy, but then they went through bankruptcy and the pension's all gone. So now it's a 401k. Mm-hmm. So, but everybody goes through transitions in life, and it's just more amplified in the military because of they're always going through transition, and having that successful transition does more good for the military than almost anything else, because they want to produce and put people back into the community better than, you know, how they got them. And losing your identity and losing your sense of purpose is one of the greatest causes of veterans having problems. Whether it's PTSD and I can't deal with, you know, the trials and tribulations of home life or working in a corporate environment. I firmly believe one of the reasons veteran suicide rates are so high is because guys are struggling with losing their identity and losing their sense of purpose. And it takes work. It takes effort to replace that identity and to go find a new sense of purpose. There was a statistic long time ago when I was a young Marine. They said the average Marine that retires after 30 years of a Marine Corps career only lives for 10 years after retirement. I was like, are you kidding me? Because, you know, you could be retiring at your late 40s or 50 years old, even after 30 years of service. Right. And I didn't understand it at the time, but now I do. I know people that have retired and they think they're going to sit around and go play golf or fish. And after the first summer, they're bored out of their minds. They have no purpose in life. They have no sense of identity. So even if you got to volunteer or go get involved in something else, you got to find some sense of purpose and find some other groups to identify to regain that.
And I think that's true about any kind of retirement, to be honest. I think that's why you have a lot of people that are afraid, especially in the baby boomer generation, that are afraid to retire.
Oh, yeah. And I think nowadays, you know, people living longer and there's so much other opportunity out there to do other things in life that even you might retire from the job, but if you think you're just going to sit back and sleep in every day and not ever do anything, then that's just a recipe for disaster.
So if you were talking to or speaking to an audience of people who are transitioning from whatever it is to, and now they're maybe in a place where they don't know what their identity is, like, is there something like a first step that they could take to find to replace their identity of what they had before?
I think so. But it's going to be different for everybody. I think the most important part is identifying and becoming aware of and admitting that you have lost your identity. And even if you feel pretty good about things after you've gotten out of the military or maybe after you've graduated college, you're feeling pretty good. If you're just aware of the fact that you have lost a lot and you probably need to go out, you know, the short answer is go get involved in something. Join, you know, if it's entrepreneurship, there's entrepreneurship stuff going on all across the country. I mean, the Kauffman Foundation has 1 million cups that meets once a week. And most of the bigger cities in the U.S. are sponsoring a 1 million cups event. There's startup weekends going on. I mean, I'm just speaking from the context of entrepreneurship, because that's what I'm involved in, what I do. If entrepreneurship's not your thing, then you need to find it. And that's one of the beauties of podcasting. Whatever you're interested in, whatever you think you may want to do, find a podcast on it and start listening. and get involved in those groups, networking, your local community. And there's always the Rotary Club and the Chamber of Commerce and all those other civic organizations to get involved in. But, you know, the thing about networking is you never know what good networking is going to do for you until it already happens. But if you don't ever go out there and meet people and get involved, those opportunities will never come to you. I can't even begin to talk about, after 78 interviews of Veteran on the Move, how my network has expanded and the not only business opportunities, but relationships that I've been able to build just by interviewing the people that I've interviewed. It was something that I never saw that coming. And so get out there and get involved in something, whatever it may be. If you go looking for it, you'll find something.
Gotcha. So as we're starting to wind up here a little bit, coming towards the end of the hour, what are three things that you would like people to remember you by or you feel that you stand for?
Wow, that's pretty deep.
I like to be that guy.
Yeah. But you know, the fact is, and Aaron Walker, the guy I just interviewed, he said it best. He said, you're going to leave a legacy whether you want to or not. You're leaving one. You just have to decide what you want that legacy to be. So if you just live your life without purpose, then that's what your legacy will be. That would be the first thing. The second thing is I hope that the Veteran on the Move podcast and the website, as it grows and gets better and better, will actually help veterans achieve their dreams of becoming entrepreneurs. And I think my ultimate goal, maybe years down the road, whenever that may be, you know, somebody comes to me and says, you know, I listened to your podcast, and as a result of that, I went off a different way and I became an entrepreneur, and here's what I've done since then. It's all because I listened to your podcast. So right. that would be great.
And even if that could be a life saved or something too.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah. Just whatever it may be, you know, I turned right and everybody else went left, and it was because I was listening to your podcast. And as a result, my life's been, you know, dramatically changed for the better.
Right.
And then lastly, my nonprofit that I spoke of, Speaking of Heroes, I've been making slow progress with that. And I really would like to, you know, someday be able to look back on Speaking of Heroes and know that, you know, I've had an impact on, you know, some of our wounded veterans that may have become, you know, a public speaker and gotten out there and give them a sense of purpose and the ability to reconnect with their community. So I'm looking forward to getting Speaking of Heroes up and running better than it is now, and ultimately having that be part of the legacy.
Yeah. So what about for you personally? Do you have a few people maybe that you look up to as, at their legacy and say, well, they're shaping you or you know, teachers that you kind of want to emulate?
Well, you know, most of my heroes, and people that I've looked up to over the years, because I was in the Marine Corps, were Marines or other military figures, just cause that was what I was heavily consumed with and involved with. Now that I've been retired for almost a couple of years now, some of those, you know, heroes and mentors and idols have been replaced by other people. I have to admit that I'm kind of late to the show when it comes to all this mentoring and accountability type groups. JC, your mastermind is actually the first mastermind I've ever been a part of. So I arrived late at the show, but now I'm jumping in on it and embracing it, and probably going to get involved in some other stuff here in the near future. So, for me, I really didn't have a structured mentor or, you know, quote, kind of like a guidance counselor when I was younger, that really kind of grabbed me and pulled me aside and said, "Hey, you know, this is what you need to be doing." Yeah, I did have a, I did have an older brother. He was 11 years older. My brother, John. I would not be the hunter and fisherman, today that I am without him. But unfortunately my brother, he passed away back in 08, kind of suddenly. So, didn't want to give a shout out to him, but I have to attribute a lot of my, you know, whether you want to call it success or vision in life, to just the Marine Corps in general and the Marines that I served with over the years, because I would not be the guy I am today had I not been surrounded by that, the level of individual that I worked with on a daily basis. And I have to admit, sometimes it wasn't always pleasant. But sometimes those unpleasant experiences are what make us stronger and ultimately better. So, I talked in my retirement about, you know, the Marine Corps made a man out of me. I would say, and without, you know, 24 years of that structure and discipline and heavy competition and scrutiny, I would not be who I am today. So I have to give most of that credit to the Marine Corps.
Now on that note, what I just want to get your perspective before we leave. What does success mean to you? Like, if you had to articulate that or summarize it, how do you define success? And what are some things that you did to see it through and made sure that you achieved that level of success?
Well, I would say, you know, success is more about the journey as opposed to the destination. And because if you define success as a destination, when you arrive there, then what are you going to do next? So you got to be involved in things that you really like and that you really like to do. I don't want to sound cliche and say you got to follow your passion, because oftentimes you can't follow your passion and actually make money at it. You might want to do your passion on the side while you do your, you know, second passion, you know, for a living. But right. success is a moving target. Success is not really the destination. It is the journey. And you got to really be enjoying the journey. And if you're not, then you might want to consider changing direction or changing paths. For many years, granted, I was a pilot in the Marine Corps and I did some great things, but a lot of the time it wasn't what I would call, you know, my passion or where I really wanted to be. Sometimes we have to finish things that we started, and before we can move on to maybe what we really want to do. And so there were certain, like I said, I'd gotten out of the Marine Corps once and I went back in after September 11th. So coming back was a transition for me. And ultimately I said, oh, I'm going to finish it this time. And so I did. But as I was getting close to finishing, I was looking forward to that transition and pursuing my next dream, which was entrepreneurship and starting a podcast. So I feel like I have achieved success with my podcast because I enjoy doing it and I'm enjoying the journey. There's some big things happening on down the road here in the near future. I feel like I'm finally getting some momentum going. And I know that since I'm not in the Marine Corps anymore, I'm going to be able to keep this momentum going. I do think that as an entrepreneur, you have to be diligent and hold yourself accountable. You have to write down your goals, like we discussed earlier. And if you find you can't hold yourself accountable, then you need to get somebody else to hold yourself accountable, because this entrepreneurship thing will get very lonely, and you do need help. You do need help from other people to keep you on track. So that's how I would say I'm going along this road of success at the moment. And that's been my experience it's been a real mental shift, coming out of the Marine Corps, trying to hold myself accountable. You know, like when you're in the military, you're real good at following the plan and staying within the structure and maintaining goals and accomplishments within that structure. But when you're not in the military, you have to come up with the entire structure on your own. And it's not that easy. Guys think it's easy and they think they're going to, I can't wait till I get out so I can do whatever I want. Well, sometimes what you want isn't necessarily what you need. And I see military guys get out all the time and they just kind of flounder because they never had a plan. And they thought, as long as I'm not in the military, I'll be happy. But again, you know, it goes back to that sense of purpose and staying on track and developing a plan and, you know, trying to accomplish goals and do what you want with success. You know, along the lines, a lot of people attribute success to money and finance. And success is not just money. I think money has to be a part of the success plan. But to me, financial success is, you know, financial independence, which means I don't have to actually work for money. And, you know, I've interviewed some folks recently who have their opinions on that are as a young guy, whether you're in the military or not, the more money you can start setting aside and investing, the quicker you will get to that financial independence. Maybe you'll hit it big with your company or your entrepreneurial ventures, but if you never do, as long as you're socking away a good portion of what you're saving, whether it be maxing out the IRAs and going 401k after that, that's the way you can eventually guarantee yourself to financial independence. Now, I interviewed a guy who, real early in his Navy career, him and his wife committed to saving 50%, half of everything he made. And so at age 41, he retired from the Navy, and that was like 10 or more years ago. Hasn't had to work since then.
Wow.
You know, they lived a very frugal lifestyle, and they put away and invested half of everything he made. And he discovered all this on some financial blogs and stuff. And you know, we talk about the 10% or is pretty typical what you see. And if you save 10% of everything you make, yeah, by the time you hit 60, 65, you'd probably be okay with retiring. If you save 50% of everything you make, you can probably do it in 20 years.
That's crazy.
Excuse me.
Well,
he knows people that have saved 75% of everything they make, and they can retire in like 5 to 8 years. It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Joe, got to be heading off here, but before we do, where can people find you?
You can find me at veteranonthemove.com. Spells just like it sounds. And my email is Joe, J-O-E, at veteranonthemove.com.
All right. Well, thanks again for coming in today, and look forward to many awesome interviews in the future.
All right.
With Veteran on the Move.
Thanks. Thanks, JC and Brian and John, too.
Yep. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
And there you go. I hope you enjoyed that chat with Joe. As you can tell, he really has a big passion for helping out other vets. I think eventually, whether you're an entrepreneur or not, I think you have to have a certain loyalty to what you do. I think he's found it. If you're a veteran, I think he can be a great resource for you if you're having questions on what to do next. If you want to get in contact with him, you can do so through his site, veteranonthemove.com, or tag him directly in the New Inceptions Masterminder Facebook group. I'm sure he'd love to help. Remember, go to newinceptions.com/session6 for the show notes. There you can find all the links and items we discussed. This week in the show notes extra section, there's a link that veterans should check out if they want to get some additional help with their career. Joe shared with Brian and our mastermind some info about a mentorship group he's a part of. It's given him a ton of value, so we hope that it will do the same for you. Again, thank you for listening. If you'd like to subscribe for free, make sure you can get all of our new shows in the future sent directly to your listening device. You can do so on iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. Further instructions on how to do that are in the show notes. The next thing is that I want to give a few shout-outs to those that make the show possible. First up is Fizzle.co. You know, I've been actually studying online business building since 2009 when I ran across Pat Flynn's Smart Passive Income. Since then, he's grown to be rather big in the internet marketing space. And, you know, today he pulls in over $100,000 a month, easy. He even has income reports available every month to show exactly what he's doing to pull in that amount. You know, personally, it wasn't the right time for me to start an online business until recently. While I had all this information that I learned from him, and I know a lot of the people that he interviews, I didn't know exactly where to start. So one of Pat's friends, Corbett Barr, and his pal started Fizzle.co to help those of us who wanted to start an online business. Whether you theoretically know a lot about what you should be doing, or you don't know enough, or you don't know anything, Fizzle's there to show you the next step. Their materials are based on a roadmap that gets you from conception of what you want to do all the way up through Pat's current size and beyond. On top of all the quality courses that they provide, they also have a forum that members have access to. For me, this was pretty key, and in fact, the forum itself is worth the membership price to me, because I've only just scratched the surface of the material. So whether you're a veteran entrepreneur that has some loose ends to tie up, or a beginner like I was, Fizzle has you covered. So to check that out, I'd go to newinceptions.com/fizzle, because that link will get you your first month for free instead of having to pay $35 a month right off the bat. And speaking of free, even if you don't have become a member right away, you can check out their podcast, The Fizzle Show, which is available on iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. Next up, I want to also say thanks to the host of New Inceptions, HostGator.com. You know, recently I had an issue with the payment of the site, and the site decided to give a 404 to anybody decided to visit it. And so as soon as I found out, I hopped online, logged in, paid it right away, no problem. The problem that you might ask yourself, okay, is if that happens to you with your host, are you sure that they're going to be, your files are going to be right up, your site's going to come right back up just as it was? I hope for your sake that you can say that. But this is just a little sample story. I could tell you a number of little instances where I've had to contact customer support and the problem has disappeared within an hour or two. But then again, can your host say that? You know, maybe tomorrow, maybe the next day. Yeah. So that's why I go with HostGator. You know, they're just dependable. I trust them. And if you feel your host isn't up to the standards that you like, give them a try. In fact, if you go to newinceptions.com/HostGator, you'll receive at least 20% off of their monthly rate. Awesome customer support that I was telling you about. So that's it. Thank you guys so much for checking in today. We really appreciate it. We hope you get a lot of value out of our chat with Joe. In the next episode, I can't wait for you to hear what our next guest, Ryan Roden, has to say about the work he does. Let's just say that involves making sure you have control of your online identity. I think you'll get a good grasp on why I appreciate his view on why people need to take control of their brand, even if they're not planning to be an entrepreneur anytime soon. So until then, thank you guys very much for joining us. We appreciate you, and hope you guys have an amazing week. Later.
Thanks for listening to the Angles of Latitude podcast. Connect with us at home, at work, or on the go at facebook.com/newinceptions, on Twitter @newinceptions, or on the web @newinceptions.com.